Thank you for joining us as we discover nothing but the truth with David Johnston.
If you were asked to wrap up the whole Bible in one sentence, what would that one sentence be? If you were asked to wrap up the whole Bible in one word, what would that word be? Or if you were asked to define God, what would that one word be? I think the answer is love. God is so awesome, so amazing, so high, so wonderful, so holy. In fact, you could never exhaust his person. Though that's why somebody said, the wisdom of his word, it never wanes. The vigor of his virtue, it never varies. The luster of his love, it never lessens. The prowess of his power, it never perishes. The burnish of his beauty, it never blemishes. The luster of his love, it never lessens. Nobody, none of us are capable of describing this wonderful personality of God. But if you had to choose one sentence, choose one word to describe God, you'd be accurate, you'd be right, summing it up just like John did, the one who was the best friend of the Lord Jesus when he was here. And he put it this way, God is love. Now that's important to understand because we've been talking for the last several times together about fools. And I think I've mentioned the danger of talking about subjects that the Bible addresses without containing the same sentiment that God has. And I want you to know that God loves fools. When I taught this in public some time ago, there were people who sat there as we went through the characteristics of fools, and we've already done that, 50 characteristics from the scriptures about fools. And then we went into the 5 types of fools, and I'm going to refer to those in just a moment. But there were people who sat there and said to themselves, that was me. But the worst thing that could ever happen to any of us, whether he be fool or sinner or reprobate or no matter how worse a person could ever be, the worst thing that could ever happen is for somebody to supposedly represent God with the facts, but not with the Spirit of God. That's why the Scripture says in one place, the letter kills, but the Spirit, it gives life. It is the sentiment of God that must be captured as well as the truth of God. That's why we say, the truth without love is too harsh, and love without the truth is too soft. These two need to be brought together. And in no other subject is this more critical than the subject that's been before us, what the Bible says about fools. Because if you've listened in on the 50 characteristics of fools and the 5 different kinds of fools, you may well have sat there, as some have done, and said, that's what I am. Because you identified with it. And I want you to know that if somehow your life has been turned into a question mark instead of an exclamation mark, if you've got doubts about yourself, if you've got doubts about your sanity, if you've got doubts about your well-being, if you've got doubts about your worthiness, I'd like to see those resolved. And for you right now, it can be resolved. Because God, He is not the angry God that has a stick that's out to get you every time you do something wrong. Because if God was out to get you, you'd already be got. You see, His arms are outstretched to you like this, and He's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, Jesus said, for my way is easy and my burden is light. It is not hard to come God's way. In fact, it's hard not to go God's way. It's the way of the transgressor that's hard, not the Christian way at all. He wants you to come to Him, whatever your condition. Be you fool, be you sinner, be you reprobate. God is a redemptive God, and He's got the fix. He's got the cure. He's got the solution for you. Now, we've been talking about the five types of fools. And again, let's be reminded that Jesus says, whenever you talk about fools, I want you to do it with sensitivity. And I don't want you ever to call somebody a fool, even if he is. That's why he said that he that calls another person a fool is in danger of hell fires. Severe, because the damage that comes whenever we point our fingers and call someone down for whatever reason. You see, the Holy Spirit's not the condemner. He's called in Scripture the Comforter. There is a condemner. He's known as that old serpent, the devil. He's called the accuser. He points his finger and he'll tell you you're no good. He'll tell you worse than that, that you're not only no good, but there's no hope for you. There's no redemption for you. You're so bad, you can never change. The fact is that the Bible calls him, Jesus called him a liar and the father of lies. You can change. And the power to change is not just something you have to come up with. But you can come into contact with somebody who has the power to do the changing. Because if we could save ourselves, we would have. But we can't. And that's why we need a Savior. And as you view this teaching in the next few moments, I want you to understand that this same sovereign Savior of yesteryear comes walking through the centuries to be with you right where you are today, to come into your life, to be the power for change. He's the one that can take the woman of the streets and turn her into a character of beauty. He's the one who can take a fool and make brilliance out of him. Whatever you have been, this redemptive God comes to redeem you, to take that which is broken and put it back together. That which has become dirty, to clean it. That's one of the first things he does, to wash us clean and make us brand new. Well, what about the subject of fools? We've already covered the 50 characteristics of fools. We spent time on the five types of fools. In fact, let's review the five types of fools. Number one, there is the simple fool. And then we learned that there is the silly fool. By the way, the simple fool, he just believes everything that comes along. He's got no discretion, no ability to sort out right from wrong, forward from backwards, up from down. He's just a simpleton. He is very fixable. But if not attended properly by parents or by someone who lovingly represents the Lord, he will turn into a silly fool. And all the silly fool is looking for is a good time, a party everywhere he goes. Well, there's nothing wrong with a good time, but life is more than just a good time. You see, somewhere between the entrance and the exit, somewhere between the cradle and the grave, something needs to happen to us. Something needs to come in. We don't want to go out of here the same way we came in. When we leave here, we want to have been turned into ladies and gentlemen, into persons with bigness, not pettiness. And that's why John's Gospel says, of his fullness have all you received, and truth for truth. He wants you to become big. Instead, if we're not careful, we will follow, and from silly fool we'll become a sensual fool. That's a person who only does what he thinks will feel good. His glands control him. He's out of control. He's a sensual fool. He ends up in drugs and alcohol, and habits bind him that he should never have. And one of those habits is immorality, because he's sensually focused. And then, if not resolved, the sensual fool becomes a scorning fool, a mocker. He makes a mock at sin. He mocks God. He mocks teachers. He mocks parents. He makes fun of. In fact, we're warned very severely in Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way with sinners, nor sits around in the seat with the scornful. Because if you hang out with a scorner, you end up scorning. And that's why these truths are so important. We have learned to get away from the presence of some foolish people, especially scorners, because they're so contagious. And then the last fool that we learned about was the committed fool. And he is evangelistic. He wants everybody else to be, but he doesn't see the difference between right and wrong. His conscience is totally seared. And he has reached a place now where redemption to us who, or to we who are looking on, is very, very difficult. But there is hope. Look at this list with me one more time. Because it goes like this. The simple fool, I was going to say graduates, but it goes the opposite way. He becomes a silly fool. Then the silly becomes a sensual. And then the sensual becomes a scorning. And then the scorning fool becomes a committed fool. But there is a cure for fools. Nobody is beyond redemption. And nobody is beyond the love of God. We must seek to rescue each kind of fool that we can. But what do we do when all the things we try fails and a person persists in their folly and in their foolishness? And that's why I want you to see with me and have a good, clear look at what God calls His cure for fools. This is found in the book of Psalms, 107 chapter, and it's all jammed and crammed into a few verses. But there are six specifics, so grab your pencil and your paper and don't miss these six points. Number one, when all else has failed, this is how God wants to cure, to rescue a fool. Number one. Stubborn fact. They must reap, look at this, their deserved consequences. Look at the scripture with me. Here it is. Fools, because, that's a key active word, because of their transgression, and not just their transgressions, but because of their iniquities, which we have learned about. And look at this. These things bring afflictions on them. And we said, as you recall, that the fool needs the rod on his back. And that's why parents should properly, lovingly, because remember, physical discipline without love is child beating. There's no room for that whatsoever in God's book or in God's ways, God's love. But the loving physical discipline of children is important if it's done lovingly. And it says the Bible, the rod of correction will drive foolishness far from him. But if he becomes 20 and even 16, how can you do that? And how? What about if they're 30 or 40? So watch this. God now will bring afflictions in place of the rod of the parents. And because of their sins and their transgressions and iniquities, they're going to experience tough times. What's important is that you and I must let them have those tough times. So watch this now, because the second part of this verse, this passage, is really important. Expect them to reject all help that you offer until they are very close to ultimate destruction. Look at this. Look at what the scripture says. Their soul abhors all kinds of meat. By the way, that word meat in the Bible often refers to Scripture. And we're talking about mature Christians eat the meat of the Word. They abhor all kinds of help that come to them. And look at this. And they draw near to the gates of death. And the tough thing for we who must have tough love is to let the fool go his own way, experience the affliction, and not expect him to respond to help that we offer. And if he doesn't, let him go until he gets very close to the gates of death, and he may well have to have a near-death experience. And what's going on in this picture is God is lovingly letting him experience the affliction and even the gates of death to bring him to himself, so he can turn from his ways, as we'll see. Now, when this happens to a fool, look at the next thing that happens in this sequence. They have to deal directly with God. Look at the scripture. And this word, then, that is after they've been really close to death, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And there are, like most of us, we had to come to a place where we can no longer fix ourselves. You see, that's why we need a Savior. And when the fool, finally, having rejected all help, comes to that near death, even to the gates of death that appears, and the affliction is on him. Oh, don't ever think that God puts people in these situations with a smirk on his face. That the Lord that I know, the God of this Bible, let me tell you about him. There are tears in his eyes when the rod is in his hand. You've heard parents who had to discipline their children, and they said to the child while they're spanking him, "This hurts me more than it hurts you." And you know something? When you love someone, that's really true. There are tears in his eyes when the rod is in his hand. But it's the only way that's going to bring the scorner. It's going to bring the scorning fool, the committed fool, to the point where he turns towards heaven and he says, "Help me, God." None of us can help the fool. He must come to God. Look at this. Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble. Now, watch the fourth step. And this is so delightful because God answers their cry. Look at this. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And look at this. And he saves them out of their distress. You see, when we call, he will answer. We have got that promise. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Him that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocks, the door will be opened. And anyone who cries out to God, and you know, it would be an interesting study if you look through the book of Psalms, in fact, the whole scripture, and traced where anybody cried out to God. You see, when people say, "Okay, God, help me," there's not much energy, not much motivation, not much seriousness about their call to God. But when somebody cries, it's like the mother with the child. Her ears are tuned. When she hears the cry, she is right there. God is just like that. He never slumbers or sleeps. His ears are always turned. And listen, he says, "Anybody that comes unto me, I will not reject them. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And the fool, when he cries to God, the scripture says they cry to God because of their affliction, and the Lord saves them out of their distress. But this is not the end. He will not be cured if only he gets saved out of it, because if something doesn't happen to change the inside, the heart of the fool, he'll just like he did before go back like the dog to his vomit, the fool to his folly. So we must get down the fifth thing in this scriptural text. Here it is. That fool, that person, must then receive specific scriptures from the Lord. Something life-giving, something with power, needs to come from this book, and God will make sure that happens if they'll listen and if they'll receive. They must receive. Look at the scripture. Because after they call and after he delivers them, look at the next thing he does. The scripture says he sends his word. It is the entrance of the word that gives life. "Thy word have I hid in my heart," David said, "so that I won't sin." You see, when the Word enters in to that person who was the fool until he got delivered just moments ago by calling on the God, when the Word comes in, truth comes in. And that's what the fool has been missing, the truth. He's been missing the facts. He's been missing knowledge. He's been missing wisdom. He's been missing understanding. And he gets it. And specific scriptures will be given by God to that newly converted listening fool. And when the Word enters into him, he will be changed. Let me tell you something. The Word always works. The Word always works. In the book of Isaiah, you know this passage, I'm sure. It says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, soar my ways higher than your ways, saith the Lord, and my thoughts are higher than yours. Imagine that. As high as the heavens are above the earth, my ways, my thoughts are higher than yours. You see, we tend to think that the fool is way down there and we're here and we don't know where God is. The fact is that there is a bigger gap between us and God than there is between the fool and us. A much bigger gap. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than yours. And as the rain and the snow comes down from heaven and returns not thither, but watereth the earth. Now listen to this. And causes it to bring forth. So is my word that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which it prosper in a thing rather whereunto I sent it. This book, these specific scriptures, after the fool calls on the Lord and the Lord hears him and delivers him from his distresses, then the Lord sends his word. And look at the sixth thing in this passage of scripture that happens next. They get healed. They don't just get delivered from their foolishness. They get healed from the damage as well. Look at the scripture. For he sent his word and healed them. And the Hebrew text is interesting here because what the literal translation from the Hebrew text says, it goes like this. He sent his word and it healed them. And it delivered them from their destructions. What does it take? It takes affliction. Don't expect them to respond. They turn down all our efforts. But let them go, because God is working through affliction to bring them to the near death, to the end of themselves, when they start to look up. And when they do, if they call, he will answer. And when he answers, he will save them from themselves. He will save them from their destructions. And then he will send his word. His word will heal them. And they will be completely delivered. And they will no more be a fool. I don't know how much of this book you've got in your heart and in your life. But I long ago decided I would rather have a knowledge of the Bible without an education than to have an education without a knowledge of the Bible. It is not the thoughts of men for which I crave. It's the thoughts of God. And I tell you that we who think we are so smart and that we consider ourselves not fools, by comparison to the thoughts of, we have so much to get, to learn, to become. And we do it for the entrance of his word gives us life. Now, this passage doesn't end there. In fact, what the scripture says right after this verse 20, it says, all that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. I think gratefulness is a very important key. In these moments, while we've been talking about fools, and maybe you have viewed the several teachings, and you may have thought, that's me, I want you to know right now, where you're sitting, where you're standing, where you're driving, whatever their situation is, wherever you are right now, that if you're tired of the affliction, you're tired of being a question mark instead of an exclamation mark, that if you will call on the Lord, He will hear you. And then He'll send His word, and His word will heal you and deliver you from every distress. Get His word. If you're going to be fanatical about something, get fanatical about the word of God, because it will be like fire in your bones. That's what Jeremiah said. It will be like life. Job said, I desire more than my necessary meat. Get the word of God, because then you will think His thoughts. You will feel His feelings. You will understand the truth, because now you see God's ways. Why don't you call on the Lord if you haven't, and let this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ come walking right out of the pages of the Bible, right into your life. Call upon Him. He will answer. And then He'll send His word, and it will heal you and deliver you from all your destruction.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.